We welcome you today. We're glad you're here. We're getting ready to come to the Lord's table. So I'll go ahead and uncover the elements. When the Lord designed this supper, it was a fulfillment. And it speaks of things that were fulfilled and things that yet will be fulfilled. His first coming and His second coming. It's a reminder. It is God's built-in revival for His church to bring us back to the things that are important, keeping the main thing, the main thing. Has God been moving in your life? Has He answered any prayers in your life? This week is the answer to prayer. Have you seen His power exhibited this week? Have you seen God do the miraculous this week? Have you seen Him go beyond what you thought and expected could happen this week? All right. I want to read you a letter. A friend of mine who was here last week wrote, "Since Alicia and I won't be in worship with you on Sunday, we'll be in worship at our church in Canton, Georgia, the First Methodist Church there. You need to share this with CY, and I already have." And he gave me permission to share it with you. When CY claimed last Sunday that a man who had been confused for 3 days and was seeking to know God's will for his life, that person was me. I'd had migraine headaches on Thursday, Friday, and still felt the effects on Saturday. So I was physically and mentally confused. In addition, I was and am still spiritually confused, seeking to know what the Lord wants me to do and what He wants with me. Since my Emmaus walk, and by the way, Emmaus walk is a fantastic, life-giving retreat modeled after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is a wonderful thing. Since my Emmaus walk in November, the Lord has been working with me and working me over. I have a little over 4 years before retirement, but already the Lord is preparing me for what is to come next, and now, and how He wants me to get there. I've explored, yes, even at my age, going to seminary and entering ministry. After talking with several seminaries, I realized that really wasn't an option. However, there's a laity program that I can complete in a relatively short time. I'm going to talk to him about all that. There's a lot more options than what he knows. This program will also allow me to begin working as I'm going along. While I did not have a vision like CY did of being behind the pulpit, I do see myself serving the church in other areas. Given the talents and gifts the Lord has given to me, I can see myself in some aspect of congregational care. So while I hear this call to ministry, I'm still confused as to what ministry that may be. So in the meantime, I'm waiting for the Lord to perfect in me that which He has begun and to unconfuse me. Again, this is something CY claimed last Sunday. Remember that prayer. I've become more and more aware that in God there is no coincidence. Praise the Lord. This you may share with CY and with the church, which I have dutifully performed now. Richard Landolt. God has been stirring us since the first Sunday of this new year. He has been stirring the pot. And when He stirs, sometimes it's messy. Is it not? But that's the way it goes. Us humans can be very messy at times. And God isn't just stirring this from some far off place. He is here with us. He's stirring our hearts. We had a call at the beginning of the year to be all in and to be fully employed in Him. And God is doing that. He is spreading that in us. Does any of us know what it's going to look like? No. We read the Scripture, but in every one of the churches, it was different. All week long, I've been praying over this. Us coming to the table. Yeah, I didn't know if it was something we were supposed to do. And finally, a couple of days ago, the Lord confirmed it. That this is what we needed today. We needed to come to His table and hear His word. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until He comes again. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But a man, a woman, a teenager, a child must examine himself." There's the verb. Examine yourself. It's an Isaiah 1:18 examination now. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The God who forgives. The essence of the gospel is Jesus died for our sins, so that we could be made whole. We could experience His resurrection power and live with Him forever. But let a man examine himself. Nobody else can do that for you today. We come to the table. In so doing, he is to eat the bread and then drink the cup. We can't come to the table until we've examined ourselves. "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." That means they're dead. "If we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come to eat, wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. And the remaining matter, I will arrange when I come." I read that part too. The remaining matters, because some of us will get distracted by hearing from the Lord about this in our lives, and we say, "But Lord, there are all these other things." No, He's those remaining matters He's going to take care of later. What we've got to take care of is now. What is He speaking now? Let a man examine himself. I'm going to ask Gary to come, and he's going to play some quiet music for us. And we're going to open the altar. And we're going to use this time to let God speak to us. Us preachers like to speak a lot of words. And we think we can speak for God. But we can't speak anything that will matter in eternity unless God speaks it through us. The Lord has shown me today that He's going to speak through this. What we're going to do. Now, if you want to go and if you want to sit right where you are and you do your business with God before you come to the table, let Him reveal the areas in your life where there is sin. And confess that before Him. Agree with Him about it. The places where you need help today, where you need someone that is bigger than you and you're overwhelmed. You need healing today. You need a touch from the Lord today to make something right, to put it right. Hey, this is the time. We're coming to the Lord's table. The very name communion means we're communing with God. He is here and He is not silent. He's speaking. He's speaking right now about the deepest things in your life, the deepest hurts, the things you can't share with anybody else. I want you to know today you can share them with Him. You can let Him wash over you and speak to you in a powerful way. Yes. Let a man examine himself. Let's take the time in silence. Hear the voice of God right now. If you want to get someone and come to the altar and pray, the pastors will be available. Our life group leaders are going to be available to you if you want to. If you want to pray. If you want to sit right where you are. God doesn't... He's not concerned with the position of your body or where you are in the building. What He's interested in is your heart. What's He speaking to your heart today? Can you be honest with Him? That's all confession is. Confession is just coming in agreement with God. Here I am, Lord. Hearing. And for some of you today, that they're thinking, my problem's too big. I want you to know today, you're telling that to God? To God? He's bigger than your problem. He's God. He is Lord over all. He is Yahweh. He's the great I Am. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's Yeshua. He's the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. He's the Deliverer. He is the Savior. What is it? What is it? Let's get the blockade away. So when we come to the table, we experience His presence and power. Let me pray. As we pray together, not just my prayer, it's our prayer. Lord, in a chorus of prayer, now we come before You as we come to Your table. Oh, Lord, You're awesome in this place. We feel Your presence here right now. You're thumping through our veins, Lord. Every beat of our heart is a beat of the love of Jesus. Lord, I'm thanking You today that You love me in spite of me. Lord, You love me through my sin, my failure. And Lord, I thank You today that You got a greater plan for me, a than I could ever imagine. Right now, Lord, we invite you, come. Come. Lord, we got some hurting people in this room right now. We got some people today who need Jesus as their Savior to choose you for the first time, Jesus. The risen Lord Jesus. If you've never received Jesus in your life, you can ask Him into your life right now. He'll come and save you. We'd sure like to know about that. Come. Come to Him. Whatever your needs are. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. If you want to get someone to come and pray with you. Lord, now, come. We consecrate this place. We say to the evil one, you have no authority over this congregation, this body of believers right now. You have no access to this property, to this place. Lord Jesus, this is your domain here now. We are proclaiming this by the power of the Holy Spirit that you have given to us. Come now and move in us. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. The altar's open. anyone had an answer to prayer while we've been right here? Anybody? God's spoken to you? Yes, okay. Anyone else? Has the Lord been speaking to you while we've been here in this prayer time? Anybody? Getting in a language you can understand. Okay, we're about to come to this table. And as we come and we take the elements, we're remembering the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. And it is miraculous. We are having communion with Him, with His very presence right now. He is here and He is not silent. As you come to the table, you may want to pray some more. There's plenty of room around here, plenty of carpet. It's your time. Gentlemen, if you'll come and join me. Night in which He was betrayed, Scripture says, as I read a while ago, He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And after supper, the cup, third cup of the evening, the cup of redemption, we look forward to the fourth cup in the future when He shall come. He said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the new deal, the new promise, the promise of His presence and His power, the promise of His forgiveness, the promise of His love, the promise that He will wipe the slate clean." The body and the blood of Jesus. Lord, right now we pray You'll consecrate the elements. Lord, that we'll truly experience Your broken body and Your shed blood. Rick, this is the body of Jesus broken for you. Dane, the body of Jesus broken for you. James, the body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of the new covenant for you, Rick. Blood of Jesus poured out for you, Dane. Blood of Christ our Savior poured out for you, James. We invite you to the Lord's table. Come experience His presence and His power. And come down the middle aisle and go out and spend the time in prayer, however the Lord leads you. He is here. He is here right now. Come to His table.
This time, here in this place, here we are standing face to face. Here in our hearts, here in our lives, our God is here. Here for the broken, here for the strong, here in this temple we belong. Here in our hearts, here in our lives, our God is here. We cry, "Holy, holy, holy are You." We cry, "Holy, holy, holy and true." Amen. Our God is here. Our God is here. Here in the Word, God is revealed. Here where the wounded can here in our lives. Our God is here. Here we become what we receive. Here in this Eucharistic feast, we are His body, living as one. Our God is here. We cry, holy, holy, holy are You. We cry, holy, holy, holy and true. Amen. We do believe our God is here. Our God is here. Here in this time, here in this place, here we are standing face to face. Our God is here.
Holy.
down for just a second. Have you felt the Lord's presence? What happens when you go through those doors? He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. We've got a testimony from the Manning family. Where are they? Back there, that's right. Come on down. I got a very cryptic prayer request late last night. It read something like, "Hey, we're praying over a couple of things. We need you to pray with us." And I said, "I am." And then I get a smart aleck remark back that says, "That's God's name. You can't use that name." A little theological humor, see why. Okay. But thank you, Jerry. We're always glad that you're here to encourage the brethren. But y'all were praying about something. Tell them what you were praying about.
Oh, let's see. There's a little girl in China, and we're going to adopt her. That's it in a nutshell. So
now this is 10,000 words, and this is 125,000. Excuse me, 25,000 words.
I don't really want to be doing this right now, any of it. But I got a prophecy December, a little bit over a year ago, December 2011, at a women's retreat thing that I went to, and not expecting any kind of prophecies whatsoever, but God, how he does. Back up a little bit more. Some of us are good at being pregnant and enjoy it. Some of us are not. I'm in group B. Yes. I'm very thankful for my two handsome, beautiful sons, but the pregnancy thing is just not my... I'm not joyful. the end result is. And so I would have definitely not, been praying for, asking for a third child, whatever. So that was straight out of left field. But, I know God's voice and I know when he speaks and I know when he says something in a way that I can't debate with, that it's just in stone. I was telling Matthew last night, it's kind of like the Ten Commandments is like God puts what he said on the stone and that's it. And you can't dicker, you can't argue, whatever. And so it was one of those things. And I don't know why I say at least, but I told Julie Piskowskis. And I think, kind of gives you that accountability. It's like, it wasn't a trick. You didn't imagine it. God said it, And so I told her that. And then I was like, I immediately started backing up. There'd be a third child and the child would be a girl. And so after the retreat, I started backpedaling. I was like, well, maybe I was confused. Maybe I didn't understand that completely. But at some point I told Matthew about it reluctantly. And then a few months ago, I pulled it. I was like, maybe it was wrong. Maybe that's not what he said. Maybe there might be, I pull out my journal. No. It is in black and white. Plain as day, that's what it says, that God said that there would be a third child and it would be a girl. So I'm like, Lord, I don't want any more babies. I don't want to be pregnant. So maybe this baby's coming from somewhere else. And so, we're like, well, somebody going to be in crisis and, Gwen's going to call us and be like, you need to get this baby. I don't know, but I'm like, I'm not forcing anything. We're just going to chill and mostly try to ignore this. So, I don't know. I can't think what really triggered it recently, but little things kept happening. Like I'd see this on TV or whatever. And I walked in to get Jackson a haircut 2 weeks ago and I opened up the magazine, just a magazine in a barber shop. And here's a big ad for Bethany House Adoption Services. And I was like, are you stalking me? So I had Facebook Brandy Holloway, a lot of y'all know Brandy Holloway, a couple weeks before that about, the adoption thing. I was like, well, at least we should get some information, whatever. We'll just at least do that and then decide if this is what we want to do. And so she messaged me back, and then I went silent on her and didn't say anything else. And I know she was like, what just happened? So finally, a couple of weeks later, I messaged her back again, and I said, I just want you to know, you know, I haven't like fallen off the grid or whatever, but I just want to make sure that we're in God's will and that we're not trying to force something to happen that shouldn't, yada, yada. She's like, well, there's this adoption forum at Savannah Christian on March the 2nd. Why don't y'all just come to that, you know? And so I was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, we'll go to that. Yeah, like 75% committed, something. So anyway, I was thinking that yesterday was going to roll around and something was going to come up and prevent us from going. Meanwhile, God sent us missionaries, Tim and Si, who didn't know they were missionarying. And so I'm folding clothes in the laundry room. This is back up what you were saying about God speaks in normal ways or whatever. So I'm folding clothes in the laundry room yesterday, and Si comes up. And so I told her, she's the first person we've told about any of this. And she starts telling me a story. You know, because I'm like, I don't see how this is going to happen. You know, like, you know, I don't see how this is going to happen. This is crazy. I don't want to do this. Bad attitude, whatever. And so she's telling me this story because we still were waiting for the confirmation from God that this was what we were supposed to do. And so she's telling the story about a couple that was trying to adopt and another couple that was trying to adopt. And the deadline for the money that had to come in was coming close. And so the second couple, the wife puts up an ad for a photography class because they needed $20,000 and like the you know the deadline's approaching or whatever. And so the second couple, the lady puts this ad up saying, join my photography class for $200 or something like that. So weeks went by and nobody's signing up for the class, and she's like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like the night before the first couple needed the money for the adoption, they PayPal starts going ding 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 ding, like. And they had $20,000 like the next day for the adoption. And so as she was telling me this, I got what I call the God chills and, you know, just teared up at everything. And I was like, so I just want to tell you that there's a way that God speaks to me that when, you know, I know he spoke because I get the God chills. I know that's not a very good spiritual term for it, but that's what happened. And that's when that happens, that's when I know God said it, and that's it, and I can't argue with it, and it's done, whatever. So I don't think she understood the significance of that in that moment. But so we go last night, you know, and I was thinking, he's going to come up with something, he's not going to go, we're not going to get there, something, whatever, because Matthew's working in that yard with his dad and our brother-in-law yesterday. I was like, he's going to be tired, and he's not going to want to go. So I called him in there and I said, you know, I just want to check, make sure we go tonight, whatever. And he said, I told him I have to be done at 5 o'clock. No later than 5 o'clock, we got to go. And I was like, this my husband? All right. So we go over to the class and I'm sitting there with the attitude. I'm listening, but I'm like, I got an attitude, you know? And so then it got over and I still like just questions upon questions. You know, and so we went up and talked to Brandy and Trent and other couples, whatever. And so they're like, we're going to Cracker Barrel. Y'all want to go to Cracker Barrel with us? And we are gluten-free, so there is nothing to eat at Cracker Barrel. But so I was like, no, I just want to go on home. And Matthew's like, we're going to Cracker Barrel. I was like, okay, fine. So we went and spent a lot of time speaking to them. And I kept also through the conversations, I kept saying, you know, we don't know where the child's going to come from. Is it supposed to be, you know, domestic adoption, whatever, all this stuff. Matthew's like, God told me that I'm going to have a Chinese daughter. And I was like, well, but maybe it could be. God told me I was going to have a Chinese daughter before we got married. I was like, all right, fine, we're going to have a Chinese daughter. So anyway, the situation is here is our kids don't know this. Our family doesn't know this. Mom knows now. James, thank y'all. But we're sharing because, hey, God told us we had to. So that's it. But y'all are our family, you know, and so that's what we think of y'all. And because somehow we got to come up with about $25,000. But, you know, I don't have that kind of money. And God explained it to me very clearly that I'm not going to have that kind of money. It can't be my money, that all of this is about His glory. That's why this is not my idea. This is not what I consider to be fun. And I can't afford it, because He couldn't be completely glorified if there was some way within the realm of human possibility that we could do this on our own. So we need y'all.
Let's pray.
And our kids right don't now. Know, so don't tell our kids.
We will tell them.
They'll know tonight, but not until then.
Lord, we come together with this family, and I thank You for speaking, and I thank You, Lord, that You can do the miraculous. And Lord, not only is this about a child, Lord, but much, much more. I'm asking You, Lord, for that revelation. And Lord, You'll continue to fit this plan together for this family. Thank You for their obedience to this point. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. God bless you. Glad to have the Lanes here with us today. Soon to be moving to Cheyenne. And also the Sennetts live out there. That's where Melanie and Tom live, who left us. See why I come up here for just a minute. I want you to... they thought I was from Nigeria and he was from America when we went up to Middle Georgia. CY is going to be with us another week, and he's leaving a week from Monday, tomorrow. We're collecting some things for him to take back. Some fairly new cell phones. Some of you have got dozens of them in your drawer. We need power cords with them. And also, we want to send him back with a computer, a laptop computer, and a printer, a small printer, a new. And we've already had someone give us a couple of used ones, but we're looking for a new one. If you want to contribute to any of that, and we're sending him back also to do the evangelism and the micro business. Training. But I want you to, those of you who hadn't met him, I want you to make sure, I want you to see who this guy is. Those of you, this is our first time today, and make sure you meet him before you leave here today, and be praying for him. God bless you, CY. And Tim, come on up here. Come on up here. Tell us what you're about to do.
Okay, I'm about to go for my next schooling for my warrant officer career path at Arizona for 2.5 months. Okay. And I'll be back around the end of May.
Okay, and then from there to where?
From there, my report date to Korea is the end of June, June 26th. Okay. And I'll be going first. We got the command sponsorship, so that's praise to God, let it be known here. That means the Army will pay for my family to come out and live with me and a lot of others.
Woo. That's great news.
We were planning on doing it anyways, but one road was a lot harder than the other road, so this road's a lot better. So I'll have to go there first and find a place for them to live and stuff before they can actually come out. So they'll be here for a little bit longer than me, so...
All right, now I want you to stand right here because we have other Army personnel that's over here. Come over here, Megan.
She's going to California.
stand right here. All right, Megan, you're about to go where next week?
Los Alamitos, California.
And very, very nice. And Craig is in school right now, and then he'll be with his unit out there, his reserve unit in California, and then may be deployed to Afghanistan in June. That's looking like a real possibility for him to do that. So for these two and their families, we want to pray today. So, yes.
This guy, he's going to kill me. Right. He's a ranger, but this guy, I don't need that. In Afghanistan, he earned the Bronze Star for doing things for his country. So he is a real, genuine American hero, and I love you, and thank you for all you do. You want to kill me later?
No, man.
Okay. All right.
Stay right there and lay hands on him. Right. Someone to come up here and lay hands on Meg. All right. There we go. Lord, I thank you for protecting Tim. Lord, you have been before him. Lord, I thank you for being there with him all the times, Lord, the places your spirit has been upon him. Lord, I thank you for protecting Craig. And Lord, all the times that they have been in dangerous situations. And now, Lord, we present them to you with thanksgiving for them and their families. I pray you'll go before them, that your protection and your power would be upon them today. Lord, as we send them out in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, to be Jesus-led, Lord, baptize them afresh in your love and in your care. Thank you for their faithfulness to you, Lord, and faithfulness to their country, Lord. Protect them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask CY to go to the door with me so you can shake his hand or hug him or whatever. But we'd sure like to get those, we'd like to get your cards from you. If you have an offering to bring to the Lord, there are baskets up here and basket in the back. Right now, I send you out. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of God the Father. Amen.
I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Who never fails. Jesus never fails forevermore. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. of a father who never fails. I have a father who never fails. I have a father who never fails. Who never fails. My father never fails. Never been.